Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism of Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very happy to be with you today with three guests. I was sharing with them that we snuck this segment in last minute because Brooke Walker and I had reconnected earlier this week, I think it was.
Yes.
And we decided that what the three of you are up to in this world is important enough and timely enough that we need to get on and tell your success stories and also let folks know about your upcoming event.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Very excited about it.
Yes. So Brooke Walker, life architect with 100 years of bliss, is with us. And you were, I think, one of my very first guests when I opened Phoenix Business Radio.
Was
X. I don't know how, definitely at the old studio in Wells Fargo building, but I think I'd have to go back and look, but I want to say like top first 20.
Oh, I had no idea.
Well, you know, hopefully I'll be just as smooth as I was then if we're going to pretend like I was smooth back then.
I had no clue that you hadn't been doing this for a long time.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, I'll have to go back and look. I'll text you. So Brooke, you have got an event coming up, and you've partnered with some amazing people.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the event. It's next week.
Yes, so it's going to be next Saturday, August 24th, from 9 to 4. It'll be here in Tempe at Fabric, which is right off Mill, really. And the event is called Ordinary Sucks. So my business, 100 Years of Bliss, is based on the fact that we have this genetic potential to be here for 100 years or longer, but a lot of people aren't really happy on a day-to-day basis, and how to really create a more extraordinary life, and wanted to bring other people in who could help bring their expertise and make it an even better event.
Ordinary sucks. Extraordinary is really what a lot of us strive to be, but we just don't have the tool or the skill set to do it. Is that right?
That's what I would think. Yeah, I think we get stuck in old habits. And for me, what I help people do is just create better habits.
Yeah, good. Well, we'll talk more about that. So let's introduce our other guest. We have Michael Anders with CrossFit Phoenix. Welcome.
Yep, CrossFit PHX. Yep.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Let me be specific. CrossFit PHX. I always struggle with that. We have Yes Phoenix, but it's also Yes PHX. So thank you for correcting me.
Absolutely.
CrossFit PHX. So how did you two connect?
John Bonnert, actually.
Shout out to John.
So when I left active duty in the Marine Corps, I started training at the Village on my way into grad school, and that's where I met John. And we've connected since I've opened CrossFit PHX, and he's been a great friend and confidant as I've built the business. And when him and Brooke connected, he said, you know, he reached out to me and he's like, hey, she's got an amazing story. I've been in the podcast world for 3 years now. And he's like, you two need to connect. I have no idea what's going to come of it, but I feel like her message and your message would synergize very well.
And clearly it does, because here you are.
So we met up. We had coffee in the afternoon, you know, and seems to be a theme here.
Yeah, right. And we're drinking cold brew, by the way, thanks to Cartel Coffee.
And she told me about Ordinary Sucks. And, you know, with everything that she's building with 100 Years of Bliss, I was like, I would absolutely love to help you in that endeavor in any way, shape, or form. And so I'll be one of the speakers at Ordinary Sucks.
Yeah. So when your friend John mentioned that you two need to connect and your missions are aligned, tell us a little bit about you. You mentioned military background. Mm-hmm. Tell us about CrossFit PHX.
Sure.
And really, what is your power, your purpose and power?
Yeah. So my purpose, my mission is to help people get out of their own way. And for the last 20 or so years, fitness has been the platform for that. And what I've discovered over the course of these two decades is that fitness is a very surface level, external thing. And after working with a client for long enough and we establish enough rapport, we get to really find out why fitness is important to them. And it comes down to a lot of things: self-image, significantly emotional experiences, mindset, everything above and beyond the physiological. And that's the conversation I wanted to explore with my podcast, The 20 Percenters. And so 3 years ago, I started my first podcast, Feed Me, Fuel Me, about that conversation, success, happiness, and fulfillment. And regardless of the journey, it always came down to four things predominantly: health, wealth, relationships, and time. Once people dropped everything else and made that the focal point, that's when their life begins to change. And fitness being my platform, well, there's the health pillar right there, and the rest kind of just feeds off of that.
Yeah. So I understand why, obviously, the two of you resonate with each other. And the role that you'll be playing at this event, then, you'll be talking about...
So what I'll be presenting is my mission in my talk is to help people fall in love with fitness.
Yeah, I got to say, I grew up an athlete. I swam, I cheered, I danced, and never really struggled with weight and always felt physically fit. Now approaching 55, I'm feeling blessed and grateful for that. And even though it was always a part of my life, my excuse has been I'm so busy building this business and being a mom and a wife and a friend that I've had a hard time getting back into a routine. And it's that thinking that's kept me from embracing it. And just the last maybe 4 to 6 weeks, I became aware of that and I shifted the way I was talking to myself about fitness. And guess what? I'm working out in the gym downstairs. I'm playing on a kickball team, an adult kickball team. I hiked Tonto Natural Bridge by myself recently.
That's a fun one.
And so speak to that. Like, for me, it was this big, heavy, yucky thing and eating well. And I know we're going to talk about that in a bit as well. Yeah. But I made myself wrong and I made all of that feel crunchy and hard. And I've just had to make those little shifts to take responsibility for it again.
Isn't that inner dialogue just incredible?
It either loves you or it's going to fight against you.
But it comes down to, and Brooke and Caitlin can speak to this, a conscious decision, right? Because so much of that habit is become subconscious in nature. So when you do the deep work, you know, that I'm talking about above and beyond fitness and start looking at your mindset and that narrative that you have going on between your ears and you change it, that's when the shift occurs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does the shit. Truthfully.
Oh, I didn't know if we could cuss
on this one. It's internet radio. There are no regulations.
This just got real.
But the shit, truly, like, let me step out of the shit and shift what I'm focusing
sure,
on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we obviously, that's what we're going to talk about, among other things. But let's introduce Caitlin Barth as well, who is with Macros and Metcons. And that's, you developed this.
That's my business. Yeah.
Yeah. So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what is your company, and then how do you fit in this crazy crew?
So I kind of developed Macros and Metcons after being at PHX for a couple of years. I was a member. I went to Michael probably about a year into my membership and wanted to know how I could do more for the gym. And our first steps were we did a couple of competitions and I realized that CrossFit competitions were not really my thing. And so I started interning at the gym. And so I was interning and coaching for about a year. And during that time, a couple of things in my personal life happened. I decided to go vegan. I lost my job. I was fired from like a very lucrative restaurant job. I worked in restaurants for 12 years and was just kind of like, all right, like, how am I going to support myself and, you know, my own family, my husband, and, you know, just in case this ever happens again. So during that time, I realized that I was probably eating nothing but Taco Bell bean burritos and French fries exclusively.
Which are really good, by the way.
Like, literally, my
better
aunts,
than ramen.
Like, the year that I went vegan, my aunts all bought me Taco Bell gift cards because I was just like so happy that I could eat fast food still. So in that, I wasn't feeling so great about myself. So I hired my own nutrition coach through working at Gravity, which is a pretty well-known nutrition coaching service in the CrossFit realm especially, and worked with them for 3 months. I was like amazed at the progress that I made. I was PRing and I just kind of realized that, you know, just because I had decided to go to become this vegan person and didn't mean that I was, I guess, excluded from the normal laws of thermodynamics. Like you need to eat protein, you need to eat carbs, and you need to eat fats, and you need to eat them in good balances to support your own training or just your own lifestyle. So in that time, we had a guest speaker actually come into the gym who's also a local macro coach, Kelly Michelle. And I literally turned to the person sitting next to me. I was like, I want to do this for people. And
he
he's like, yeah. And he's like, I'll be your first client. So it was just kind of like that.
That's
fast.
That's awesome. A confirmation.
So that was probably, I had already started the process of getting certified as a nutrition coach through Precision Nutrition. And so, you know, he said, yeah, I'll be your first client. So that was probably like March, I would say, of 2017. And I launched Macros and Metcons with the help of Michael in May of 2017, the same week that I decided to get married. So it was a really wild summer. But essentially what I realized as far as, you know, nutrition coaching and how it kind of came about at the gym is like that was something that we were missing. Like, so many of the girls, especially at the gym already, were doing something like Working Against Gravity or Black Iron Nutrition, some of the other nutrition coaching companies. You know, we just realized that there was a need that should be met. And I was kind of already in a good place to do that. So yeah, Michael helped tremendously in launching it. But
so
yeah, it's wild.
So how is it that what you're doing and how you show up as a coach in this space, how is that different than what other people are doing?
So I'm definitely not reinventing the wheel by any means. As far as what I teach my clients how to do is I teach them how to track their macronutrients. So those are your protein,
kind
your carbs, and your fats. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We kept it pretty straightforward with the name. So I teach them how to track their macronutrients and, you know, teach them that nutrition is very individualized to each person. Just because one person is doing the keto diet or a vegan diet or paleo doesn't mean that you need to do the same thing. And when you break it down into numbers instead of foods or, you know, a title of a diet, I think it gives people a lot more freedom because they can choose to eat how they want to. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do with my clients is I keep things, you know, very personal. Like I spend a lot of time in their check-ins, you know, making sure I'm touching on all of their points. And I feel very lucky because my clients share things with me that a lot of times have nothing to do with nutrition. It's, you know, they're excited because, you know, they might have PR'd something in the gym or they hit, you know, a faster mile time than they did before. But they're also sharing stuff with me like, hey, I decided that, you know, through this process, like you did more for yourself in building this business. Like I'm thinking I want to do something like that too and like build my own business. And I feel like I've had so many experiences like that and I can't even think of one specifically off the top of my head. But I just feel very lucky that people share so much with me. And I want to always make sure that that personal thing is what sets me and my business apart from some of the other maybe nutrition coaching companies that exist out there. Mm-hmm. Is keeping it really personal.
My gosh, so much information.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit more about the event. And then also I want to ask Michael what it's like to listen to you share since you've been a mentor and a guide mm-hmm. and part of
Absolutely.
This journey. But I want to share, I think it was yesterday, saw on Facebook, a friend of mine is Dr. Michelle May.
Okay.
And she created the program and wrote the book, Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat. And I don't see her stuff very often, but she had a little meme. And it was a picture of a woman, and the words on it, I think the gal was leaning over a scale
okay.
in despair. And I think it said, my first diet through Weight Watchers was at 13. My last diet was at 47 or something like that with the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And a lifetime of eating disorder in between.
Yeah.
I have chills saying that, and I'm not calling out Weight Watchers specifically, but
I mean,
we're
we can
in
call
such...
them out because they started that kids thing now, which I'm like super pissed
That's
about.
That's what this was about. I will connect yeah. the two of you. That's what this was about. And so I literally have my hair standing on my arms. We are doing such a disservice when we use the word diet mm. and we're making each other wrong for the way that we look.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this other side of the coin, which is we've got to take personal responsibility
100%.
To take care of our health. And
yep.
most of that comes through what we're eating and how we're moving.
Absolutely. Yeah.
1,000%.
I think where everybody gets lost is whether it's nutrition or fitness, right? Because there's the dogma of CrossFit or bodybuilding or obstacle racing or whatever. Everybody's trying to prove everybody wrong based on the method, even though the principles are rock solid. You can't argue principle, right? And when I meet people or mentor people in business or fitness, Caitlin build macros and metcons, you have got to rest your laurels on principle. You can't, the argument against method is eternal, but you cannot argue principle. And that's when you know you're dealing with somebody who's worth their salt as a professional, when you can have an honest discussion about methodology and implementation because you're in agreement on principle.
Can you speak to principle a little bit more? Not that you have to define it, but
sure.
Give us an example of this is principle and this is method.
Sure. So method, bodybuilding, CrossFit, right? Principle, progressive overload,
exactly. Right?
The principle of progressive overload means that in order to create adaptation, you have to overstress the body, right? You have to incrementally challenge the body, the system, more than it's been challenged before if you want it to progress and become better. To be able to handle more stress than it has before, you have to challenge it, take it to failure in some instances, and then you're essentially, through that process, raising the baseline, right? That's a principle. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, if you do Zumba harder, mm-hmm. you get better at Zumba. Right, you'll achieve some kind of physiological result of that progressive overload. That, regardless of the medium, is inarguable.
Nutrition is the exact same way. It's the method is whatever diet you choose to do, whatever you want to call it, whether it's vegan, paleo, keto, whatever it is, the principle is energy balance. At some point, if you want to lose weight, as an example, you have to consume less energy than you are expending. That's just the way that it works. Like, that's what science is. And apart from some dramatic outliers, like, you know, I think hormones is a really big talk that I see a lot in the space right now. And that's absolutely something that can affect it. But I think that a lot of us kind of, like, from the beginning of this conversation is, if you want to be extraordinary, you have to kind of put that aside and push past that. Like, have I actually taken myself to my full potential, or am I resting on this laurel of hormones or whatever it might be? But yeah, the principles are all the same.
Well, and I just want to add to the reason that I wanted specifically Michael and Caitlin, after meeting them, to speak at this event. I've done CrossFit very limited, but his passion about fitness and everything that he does was what I wanted. I wanted to say, the idea that you can help people fall in love with fitness, because fitness for me was something that I didn't do when I was younger, very, very limited. And it's something that I got into really more, and I actually would call myself an athlete in the last 5 years, and probably the first year of even running and stuff, I would have never.
I've seen your photos. I've stalked you on Facebook.
There you go.
Instagram.
You just gotta own up to it, man.
Right. But it's like, not until I get a wall full of participation medals, because any running or anything, it's all participation medals and a beer at the end. But not until I, you know, get a wall full of that before I'd even admit that I'd call myself an athlete, because there was some idea that I wasn't quite there. But it does so much for you emotionally. It does so much for you physically. It does so much for you. I mean, the confidence that people build when they begin to achieve things physically, it flows over into every part of your life. And mm-hmm. so a part of my program is fitness and is nutrition, but I don't want to sit and tell people how to get fit. I just want to talk about the mental aspect and the science behind some of the reasons that it's absolutely beneficial for them to go out, walk, run, do CrossFit, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And then nutrition, the same thing. Like, my part of nutrition, I want to talk to people about what they're intaking and why? And partially take away the negative aspects of the way people view food because it's so over, because just the idea of diets these days and the idea of the way people, these negative ideas of like, you know, it has a physiological effect. You know, when you're told you shouldn't eat a piece of cake, and then you go eat that piece of cake. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you go into this guilt, like your body's not going to even try and digest that because you've gone into a whole physiological thing about why you shouldn't be eating it instead of just like, yeah, eat well most of the time. And so, and again, you know, I mean, I chose her because she has a wide view of the nutrition. And, you know, I like that she shares that there's different ways for different people, but getting down to the basis of the science.
It's interesting, and Michael, I think, I don't remember what you said, but you'll have to help me remember.
No worries.
So I'm hearing minds, and I'm putting you in buckets just to illustrate this point. I know
sure.
you are all so much more than that, but I'm hearing mindset, the physical aspect, mm-hmm. the exercise,
yep.
and I'm hearing the nutrition.
Sure, yep.
Do one of those have to come before the other for all of us? Is there one place that if we go fix that, this is kind of what I heard, something mm-hmm. like heard you say,
sure.
but everything else falls into place?
Yeah.
Or could we start with nutrition?
Oh, yeah. No, the barrier to entry is different for everybody.
I agree.
So, I mean, now that I can use the word shit, I'll go ahead and use it. The shit that people go through that bring them to the realization that something needs to change is different for everyone. And depending on your background, it might start with, I just need to talk to somebody and, you know, change the narrative mm-hmm. so that I mentally equip myself to take action. For somebody who has that, who's already overcome that, you know, and they're kind of active, but they're just not achieving the result through activity that they're looking for, well, the next stone to turn over is nutrition, right? So, and on the other side of that coin, you know, maybe you already eat well, but you don't have the aesthetic or the performance that you're looking for. Well, we need to change your physical activity. So one size does not fit all. How you start is inconsequential as long as you get the ball moving.
I think that's the beauty of this event, Ordinary Sucks, because you've created a blueprint that helps people start and,
yes.
and get into that space. So tell us a little bit about the blueprint.
So what the blueprint is and why I call myself a life architect is I wanted something more tangible than a lot of what I've seen out there, which is this, you know, let's just talk about it, this. I wanted something where people could write down. And the first thing that I, you know, everything starts and bases around is values. Because at the end of the day, that's not something that changes. My values may be different than your values, different than Caitlin or Michael's values, but we all have values. And if we're trying to do something outside of our values, we're going to fail. So first thing is making sure that we talk about the values. And then going from there, you know, I have the six different areas, which is mindset, relationships, nutrition, fitness, career, and finance. Fun and spirituality should be in all of them. But within each of those, everybody's going to have a different place that they're at. You know, some people may feel like they've conquered a lot of those areas and that they're very successful, but I guarantee one of those areas you may feel like you're falling behind. So the goal was to be able to have a holistic program that we could actually put habits into place so that you could take the same habits and just apply it to another space in your life. So my whole thing is giving some science and some bases on how we create better habits, starting with mindset, and then how to apply them in these different areas so you could be successful in all of them.
It's back to that principle piece again and laying the foundation, right? How you go about it is going to be different for everybody, but that foundation has to be there.
Absolutely.
Would you be willing to share how did you land here? Like, why is this important to you? And
sure.
And so, why you?
So my background's actually in psychology, but it took me a while to get there. And I think last time I was on your show, I was, you know, doing finance. So I've definitely bounced around a bit. But going way back, I was actually raised in a cult. And so being in that for over 20 years, I didn't come out like at one specific time. There was some bouncing in and out towards the end, but I was pretty much lacking in all these different aspects of my life when I did get out. And I was a single mom with two kids, trying to figure out how to get some self-value. Self-esteem was huge. Trying to figure out how to get my mindset straight, how to create good relationships, how to repair the relationships with my kids, because I had two teenagers really at that time. And then tackling, learning how to get into fitness, because at the time I was, you know, I mean, when I was 31 years old, I had heart surgery from the amount of stress that I had gone through everything in my life. I mean, and that's a big thing for me. It's like, if you don't learn how to put the good emotional steps and all these wonderful things back into your life, you're going to have a physical decline.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the way it works. 80% of hospital visits, according to the CDC, are because of stress. 80%.
Yeah.
So it was, so fitness was something I began putting back in, but I had, you know, and I had a lot of, I had migraine headaches. I had all kind. I mean, I a laundry list of issues. And then nutrition became something too, because, I mean, I was the kind of person, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people who've gone to Weight Watchers can relate to this. Like, well, I'll just eat a couple pieces of cake today and nothing else, and that'll balance itself out. It's like, that's really not healthy. And once I began to learn to eat to feel good, totally changed my perspective on food. It was like eating to feel good and eating and learning what that looked like. So putting nutrition in and then learning how to find a career that was meaningful to me and then learning how to figure out my financial state. I mean, so many people today are so bad with their finances. And it's just, this country is, I mean, this country itself is in ridiculous amounts of debt. And I don't think until people start taking individual responsibility are we going to start pulling out of that.
And we're ridiculously overweight and unhealthy. And we're ridiculously sedentary.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really, it's frightening. Sure. And we wonder why politically we're all angry at each other and why our communities are just having a hard time thriving because we're not taking personal responsibility.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your journey. I'm going to imagine that at this event, you're going to speak a little bit to that.
Yes.
I don't know a lot about cults, but what I understand is that you've had to reinvent yourself, find out who you are, right? So when you, this is a question, I guess.
Yeah.
When you come from that kind of an upbringing, an environment, are you seen as an individual or are you there to be of service to something or someone else?
You're definitely in a moment of just being in a, there's a higher purpose that you're a cog in a wheel. So as a kid, I didn't really think I had a lot of choices about my life. So even just growing up and getting to the point and realizing that I had choices about things, I mean, there's this, you know, there's all these very weird views that we could go on for days digging into. But like getting into, you don't feel like you don't have a choice. Like, I didn't have a choice growing up about a lot of things, and whether that was specifically said or implied. I mean, I was pulled out of high school, and for the most time, we had our own school, but there was a brief period of time that I was actually going to public school, and I was pulled out of high school to begin working. And I was more or less married to the person that I had, you know, my kids with, and then I'm in those kind of things. So, and I never really thought I had much of a choice. So coming out of something like that, like building those things, like I wouldn't say I have the worst of it because there's other people who've been through some really traumatic things as well. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, if I can come out of that, and there's a place too at this point, I see it as a gift because it allows me to do something for people and come from a perspective that I have an understanding and have compassion and empathy for people in a way that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if I hadn't been through that experience.
Well, you wouldn't be Brooke Walker.
Right.
Period, right? So when we negate part of our past and we say, you know, I'm going to ignore that or I'm going to shut that down, we're doing ourselves a disservice because then on the other side of that, we can't be extraordinary
right.
until we, I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't go through postpartum depression, my sure. divorce, my parents' situation. I love what you shared. And for our listeners, clearly, we all have our own shit, yeah. right? And we're probably going to have more down the road.
Plenty.
Right? Yeah. I'm shocked that you're asking that. Except for you. We all, except for Michael. But it comes down to choice. And that's one of the very first things that you said, mm-hmm. Michael, when we started Absolutely. This segment. This is around realizing and taking responsibility for choice.
Sure.
That we get to choose. And even though we could say that your life experience as a young child and woman up into your 20s was, from my perspective, it feels and sounds extreme.
30s.
30s. Wow, sorry. 30s. It's okay. it sounds and feels extreme.
Right.
When I look from the outside in. And with what little I know about your experiences. But I can tell you, and I know with the roles that you two play in lives mm-hmm. for the people that you work with and your friends and family, many of us could say that we didn't realize we had a choice. Mm-hmm. Regardless of our upbringing, how sure. happy and joyful it was and how quote-unquote normal it was, mm-hmm. I can tell you that I know a lot of people, very successful professional people, like the light bulb goes off. They're like, wow, I didn't realize like this is something I could own. Mm-hmm. So either of you speak to that.
I think the first thing I want to say is I think what's really amazing about, I mean, these two people especially, but just so many people in the realm of making that choice is, you know, in talking about our past, and I think a lot of times, you know, you get in this place where like your past is a competition. Like, no, mine was like way shittier than yours. You know what I mean?
Misery loves company.
I think you get in that place, right? And I think what's really amazing in, at least in my transformation as becoming an entrepreneur, is that the more people who I surround myself with in this space just choose to not let that define them. Like, it was part of what happened. And it's part of what got them to where they are, but like that doesn't define them anymore. Anyway, I just like had that thought. Just I was like, you know what? I had like a light bulb moment myself.
Yeah, and discovering the gifts.
Sure.
Where is this a gift? How right. has this been something that not only has shaped me, but how can I bring value to the people that I know and work with as a result of it?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think in going back to your original thought as far as like choices, you know, when I was growing up, I'm the first of four kids. I'm the oldest of four kids. And there's a pretty significant gap between me and my brother's 24. Like, I didn't even know that off the top of my head. My brother's 24 and I'm 30. I turned 31 this year. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was you play sports and that's it. You play sports. And so I played sports up until I decided I didn't want to anymore. And then I did theater. So I didn't fall in love with fitness again until I was in college. But, you know, for me, it was you go to high school, you go to college, you get a job in marketing, like that's just what you do. And you get a job in sales and you make a shit ton of money and that's it. Well, I graduated high school in 2007 and went to college, left college. I guess I graduated in 2011, December of 2011. So like job market was still kind of at that point. Got my first job out of college, like went into sales, did the cold calling thing. Like I worked for, it's an awesome company, but they pay you pennies essentially for making 80 cold calls a day, which is like, if you've never done that, is super miserable. No matter how much beer they have in the office, it's still really miserable. And I literally remember the morning, it was June 13th of 2013, that it was before I went to PHX, but it was June 13th of 2013, and I went into the office that morning, and my boss put me on like a plan, like a performance plan, because I wasn't meeting my quotas. And I walked outside and made a phone call to my old boss at the restaurant that I worked at in college and was like, hey, do you need any cocktailers? And he's like, yeah, come in on Monday. So I walked back in the office and quit. I was just like, I cannot do this anymore. You know, I think it was at that time that I realized that, I mean, working during the day for a long time was not really my thing. Like I was such a night owl for so long. And I made that choice. And like, I know that my parents were not super thrilled about it. But because at that point, even before that, before I went to work after college, I thought that, you know, restaurant jobs were, you know, just for a period of time, like you couldn't make a career out of that, like that kind of thing. And once I went back into the field after leaving, I was like, you know what? Like, if I do this for a while, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, I make a shit ton of money. I have a really flexible schedule. Like, I work part-time hours and make full-time money. Like I had just, like, this idea that it was, like, I don't know, like a crappy job to have. And then I went on and worked in the restaurants for, like, 12 years before for 12 years total, I guess, before I left. But I don't know. I think that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I feel like my parents had all these expectations for me. And then when I made the choice, it's like, no, I just want to do this on my own terms. And it all kind of, I feel like, snowballed from there. Like, once you make one choice, all of the other ones just start to follow.
I've got all the coaches at the gym right now reading The Alchemist.
Yes, such a good one.
And in that book, he talks about the universe conspiring in your favor, right? That's exactly what Caitlin's talking about. Once you make one choice, it just kind of like snowballs on you.
I mean, right? That fall is when I ended up at PHX too.
Yeah.
So like 3 months later.
It's really interesting how all that works, because going back to Brooke and the cult, Caitlin in the restaurant industry, me in the Marine Corps, we fall in love with these false identities, right? We become attached and allow what we do to become who we are, right? The thing we say in the Marine Corps is once and always, right? I'm not a former Marine. I am a Marine, right? It's just part of the culture, right? But at the same time, that Marine is not Michael. And it took me a really, really long time to not identify with that. So much of my triggers leaving active duty had a lot to do with just lifestyle stuff. What do you mean nothing's open at 7 a.m.? You know, what do you mean I'm more productive in the first 4 hours of my day than people are, you know, all day long. You know, before noon, I've accomplished, you know, that's like, that's my normal. You know what I'm saying? And it's so easy based on my experience to judge you guys or anybody else against it. And that makes for a very shitty existence.
And how cool that you're sitting next to a night owl.
Right? Not anymore. I actually wake up super early now, which is really, I like never thought that that would be me, but I took over a morning class in December of last year, or November of last year, mm-hmm. I guess. And ever since then, like, I just wake up earlier and earlier, and it's really bizarre.
And to your point, though, mm-hmm. not making... I think we have to get to a point where we stop making ourselves wrong for maybe being a night owl, mm-hmm. or for me, I love working, and I have chosen that as a mom,
sure,
my whole career, and I love being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. At one point, my daughter, who's now living in Brooklyn and going to be 23. In high school, I think it was, when I was a single parent and her dad was very active in her life, she came in and she's like, we were short on money. She's like, why can't you just go get a regular job like everybody else? Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and had a moment of guilt and shame. And then I just said, you know, I wish I could. I don't know how to go do that. And I grew up in the same household, but take out the marketing career and the sales career and plug in educator. So I was a third grade teacher and assistant principal for years in the Kyrene School District. I had to do something different. Mm-hmm. And it meant a lot of false starts. Mm-hmm. I know, Brooke, you spoke to, you know, just the different things that you've done. I am a different version of myself almost every 3 or 4 years.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I carried some shame around.
That was the military for me.
Right.
You know, both my parents are veterans, you know.
It's what you knew, and it's what you're destined to do. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, right, whether we have someone like Brooke who helps us blueprint it out and take a look at, you know, where do I have choice, and who really do I want to be, and am I showing up in that space?
Right.
Or we figure it out on our own. I'm going to recommend that you have someone like Brooke in your life to help you with that blueprint to speed
Highly
up the
recommend.
Process, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you start to surround yourself with people and the universe conspires on your behalf to give you more of that.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's, I mean, people, because I, you know, I say, oh, I grew up in a cult, and then they go into 85 billion questions about it. And, you know, because there's, you never become a bigger voyeur than when you hear somebody grew up in something like that. And sure. Like, oh, tell me about it. What does that mean? Because there's so many versions, right? But what, what I'm going to talk about too on next Saturday is really just how relatable it is to everybody. Because the truth is, it's really just a version that everybody does every single day of giving your power away to other people. Mm. And so many people are just not living into who they are. That's why they're not happy. And we see these different levels of success, and we judge it, and we don't understand what people are really going through internally. I mean, look at some people we've lost over the last few years. Like, look at people like, you know, Robin Williams, you know, who is just this amazing person that brought joy to so many people, but obviously he was not living that for himself. And there's so many people who have this outside exterior look, especially with social media these days. And it's because we're stuck in these dogmatic beliefs about who we should be. So you can have this cult experience, which made my eyes really open to that, which is a gift for what I'm doing now. But everybody's stuck in dogmatic beliefs about somewhere they should be and something they should do, whether it's the Marines or growing up in a certain type of family or growing, you know, whether it's societal, whether it's based on just the way our parents were, the culture of where we work, the culture of the area that we grow up in. I mean, it's time that we start to let go some of those ideas, really see what resonates with us, and how we can be the best version of ourselves and be non-judgmental with other people about where they are.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, so much of, you know, what Brooke is talking about, and I can't wait to hear her expound upon it next week, has everything to do with, you know, that conscious decision. You know, it really does come down to choice and living in your truth. And once you find out like what that is, I mean, you can live life in fifth gear, you know. And so many people are just like living in this existence, telling themselves that, oh, it's all happening to me. And the narrative that I try to help people get to is, no, all that shit is happening because of you. Mm-hmm. For better or for worse, until you start to fix you, which is what 100 Years of Bliss is all about, nothing's going to change. And that, and ultimately, whether it's fitness, nutrition, mindset, whatever, that's the challenge that I issue everybody. Yeah. Is, you know, we gotta fix you. Like, it's not all these other people. It's not your environment. You can't change the weather, but you have 100% control over you.
Mm-hmm. You made a conscious choice at some point about CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. Why CrossFit?
Why Zumba? Why bodybuilding? You know, because I like this shit. Right?
Yeah,
no, seriously.
I love it.
You know, like, everybody wants this, you know, because of my credentials and stuff like that, with a bachelor's in health and human performance, being a collegiate athlete, being a Marine, having a master's in fitness and conditioning. I'm supposed to have some real intelligent whiz bang answer as to why CrossFit is the thing.
I like your answer best. And
I like it.
Yeah.
You know, why vegan? Mm-hmm. You know, it supports her values. CrossFit supports my values. You know, I did it all. You know, I played collegiate football. I've been on stage. I've done 4 bodybuilding competitions, right? I've done the Marine thing. You know, I've got an extensive background in martial arts, you know. CrossFit fits this season of my life. And it's really that simple.
Yeah.
You know, when I endorse my business, my tribe, my coaches, the other side of that argument is it's not for everybody, but I'm really well connected in this space. So if my thing isn't your thing, I will endorse whatever that is and send you to a reputable place that fits your fancy.
Yep.
Okay. So on that note, and there are lots of different options to stay fit. Mm-hmm. What are the key ingredients for sustainable fitness?
Oh, there's 5.
Okay.
In my mind, these are principles, right? It doesn't matter what the method is. You got to have a goal. You have to find a coach. You have to find a tribe. You have to have a process. and you have to be consistent.
Okay, go again so I can really sink in.
You've got to have a goal. That's your guiding light. That's your North Star, okay? Then you need to find a coach, somebody who's knowledgeable and can help you create the process to get you there. And your tribe is that external accountability measure. They're the people that are sweating it out for you and with you. This is, you know, in the Marine Corps, we called it camaraderie through shared adversity. You know, when we were deployed and it's hot, it's sweaty, we're hungry, we're tired. You look to your left, you look to your right, and they're going through the same shit. There's nothing to complain about, right? And then ultimately, regardless of what the other four are, you have to be consistent, because the consistency is not if, it's when you fall off the wagon. That consistency becomes a habit, which becomes a lifestyle, which makes fitness sustainable.
Hmm. Are you an author as well?
I am.
Yeah. Inner Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So over the last 3 years of podcasting, these pillars of happiness, success, and fulfillment, regardless of the journey, show up over and over and over again. And regardless of whether it's Brooke's exit from the cult and the lessons that she's learned along the way to become who she is and implement 100 years of bliss, or Caitlin and, you know, the narrative that she had coming out of the restaurant industry and launching Macros and Metcons, right? There are principles that show up over and over and over again that facilitate that transition. And instead of listening to 150 hours of me ranting and raving about these things, I condensed it into a book called Inner Circle, Focus and Fulfillment Habits of the Enlightened. And the enlightened are the people cut from this ilk in this room that just get it. They're living their truth, you know, for them, and they have a greater purpose to serve others. And that is one of those overarching themes is impact. It's not income, you know, which a lot of people attribute as a marker of success. But when it's all said and done, it's just income is a facilitator of impact, which is what we all really want when it comes down to it, and you strip away the layers. So that's what the book is about.
Love it. So Conscious Capitalism, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, is one of our location sponsors. And that's really what we talk about, being a conscious leader and being more than okay with earning a living, a really good living, with whatever product or service we have to offer this world. Find value, give it, and then obviously have an exchange with it financially so we can succeed. Because to the point, we're all independent business owners in here and entrepreneurs all around the world. The single most effective way to get people out of abject poverty is capitalism. Mm-hmm. Teach them how to do something. Have them find a way to earn a living with it. So love that. Where can we find your book?
You can find the hard copy on Amazon, or you can go to the number 20% with an S, circle.com, and you can download the e-version.
Mm, are you reading it? Or no, it's not an audio version. Are you going to do an audio version?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my next project.
Love it.
Of many.
I just was up in Pine Top with my high school girlfriends last weekend, and I drove home, and I don't read often, mm-hmm. and nor do I listen to audiobooks, but I'm shifting that. And I listened to two books on the way home, and nice. One was told through the voice of the actual author, and the other one, somebody else professionally did it, but I got a real kick out of it. But you have an ebook version, and you have the hardbound with mm-hmm. an audio version on mm-hmm. its way.
Yep.
Very good. Is there a book in your midst? I think I asked you that the other day when we reconnected.
I am working. I've started. Launching my business and
it's big enough.
Yeah.
Slow down, Karen. Let me just get through one of my goals at a time. And Caitlin, how about you? A book someday?
Oh, man. If I were to put together something, it would be along the lines of a science forward layman's version of this is how you lose weight or gain weight. Like, yeah. There are a couple of people in this space who I like respect a lot. Dr. Lane Norton wrote one called Fat Loss Forever. One of the other women who I follow just recently released one. But something like that to offer to people, I think would be awesome.
Yeah.
you know, it's amazing in the online space. And Michael and I have talked about this a million times that like, it doesn't really matter like how many times it's already been said, like your voice can be heard too. As far as like, we talk about the abundance mindset a lot. And like, especially when I was first getting into this, like I was so nervous because there were all of these other people who were doing what I was doing. And finally, it just came down to like, screw it. Like,
well, it goes
people
back to
like
the tribe.
Too.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to the tribe too. And what you put out there, you're going to find the people who have a need to hear it from you.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I was to do anything, it would be something along those lines. I'm super excited about the event next Saturday. I've been working on my speech, which is like something that's not totally outside of my comfort zone. I did do theater in high school, so I know how to speak on stage,
performance.
Throw out some jazz hands. But no, I've been working on that, and the theme of that is something along the lines of discipline means freedom. Mm-hmm. And so maybe something could come of that potentially at some point too.
Yeah.
But
good. Yeah. So tell us when clients work with you. Do they have to be members of the CrossFit Phoenix? Or
No. Absolutely no.
What's it like?
So I do have quite a few clients from CrossFit PHX. Obviously, I coach there as well.
Said it again. Sorry.
No,
CrossFit
you're right.
PHX.
You know what's so funny? And I'm gonna tell the story real quick if you don't mind, Michael. But the reason it's called CrossFit PHX and not CrossFit Phoenix, if I remember correctly, is because the domain CrossFit Phoenix was already taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the everything was taken. CrossFit Phoenix, CrossFit Scottsdale, all the area codes were gone.
Yeah.
But going back to, you know, your journey, is your story. I was an air traffic control officer in the Marine Corps, and PHX is the airport code for Sky Harbor.
Oh, I love it.
And so I was like, you know what?
I can do this.
Let's see if I... It was a last ditch effort. I mean, I used that. I used everything and they were all gone.
Works.
CrossFit aggressive,
yeah.
CrossFit this shit
and
sucks. Whatever. And PHX was available. And
how
I was like, they're really going to let me have this?
How many of those URLs, you said they were taken, but mm-hmm. how many of them were not being used and it had some stupid price tag?
CrossFit PHX.
Totally.
Or CrossFitPhoenix.com would have cost me $27,000.
I remember that.
I remember all of mine
and it infuriates me. They're sitting out there.
That's a business model. There are people that do that
totally.
Though.
Oh, and they make money.
Oh, yeah.
Still, even though that's been somebody's technique.
You want to know the hack that's going on right now?
What?
There are people that are tracking these high profile collegiate athletes and they're buying the domains with their names.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow.
So when the agent comes to the game and says, you need to brand yourself. Oh, wait a minute. We can't use that. It can't be DwayneJohnson.com. It's got to be DwayneJohnson1, but that's not brandable. So now we have to go talk to this dude in Boise, Idaho who wants, you're about to get drafted? Let me get some of that signing bonus.
Yep.
And that's a very prolific business model now.
Somebody, I think it was a marketing branding person on one of our shows not too long ago said, you've got a kiddo under the age of 12, you better own their domain right now.
If michaelanders.com didn't look like mycalendars.com, I didn't notice that one day. I'd have kept it.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of like, it's on reserve. I just don't use it.
Yeah, I have Karen Nowicki, and that used to be that was my business coach for a long time under my name. And I'm not using it. I don't really think I'm ever going to have the intention to go back and do it. But what if? What if there's another book in me? What if I want to do something like that? Then I'm going to need to resurrect
there's
that.
So many
we are
Brooke
really
Walkers.
On a tangent here, but it's a fun one.
Yeah,
okay. We've only got about 6 more minutes left, and I want to make sure we really speak to the event. But this is going to be a podcast forever. So if you're listening and Saturday the 24th has already passed of August, you'll still have a rich experience in listening to us. Blab on about our joys and shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so my question, because I don't think we got there. You are, how do we work with you? If somebody's listening, they're like, wow, I really need that structure and that support as it relates to my nutrition.
Absolutely.
How do they get in touch with you and what does that look like?
So we have www.macrosandmetcons.com. It's all one word. And there's a contact form on there that comes straight to me. It's great. It's got a little note where you can talk about whatever your specific goals are. If you just have random goals like fat loss or muscle gain or anything like that, you can plug them in there. I'm also super responsive on my Instagram. I get a lot of people actually who reach out to me via there, and that is at Caitlin, C-A-I-T-L-I-N, Barf, and I'll tell you why.
That's even better.
That's
than
B-A-R-F. I honestly, so that was like a running joke growing up, is like that's how people would pronounce my last name.
Of course they did.
You know, when you're a second grader and you think that's hilarious. And I literally just got on Instagram recently to try and change it to like my regular just first and last name. And somebody already has it. So Caitlin Barf lives on for right now.
and sitting next to you is your kind of business coach and yes. pal.
Oh, he advised me to change it.
Oh, you did? But now are you thinking it's brilliant?
Well, now I it's think brandable. It's,
yeah, now it's brandable.
And it's... I can't wait to see where you head with it.
Oh, man.
I mean, it kind of plays on the whole nutrition thing.
Exactly. It does play on it a little bit.
And eating disorders. No offense. I'm not making light of that.
No, absolutely.
Really, I'm not. But it really is.
Yeah, it kind of worked out. But I literally just got on recently to try and change my first and last name. And it was like, well, no, Caitlin Barth lives
right,
on for
then.
Now.
Oh, my gosh. And by the way, if you didn't catch it, it's Barth, B-A-R-T-H.
Yes, that's my actual last name. And then you can also reach me. Macros and Metcons has its own Instagram as well. That people can contact me through. And actually, the link to our website is on there, so it's easily directed. The website's on my page as well, but mm-hmm. easily directed to the contact form. But that is at macros_metcons.com.
Okay, so we reach out, we connect.
Mm-hmm. And then I email you back pretty quickly. I try to get back to everyone within 24 hours or less. It just kind of depends on where we're at in the day. But I contact you back directly. And I'll send you our welcome letter with just some more details about the program, what you can expect, what your expectations are as my client and vice versa. And then if you're a local in Arizona, you can actually come to CrossFit PHX and we can do an in-person consult if you'd like. I can do baseline measurements for you if that's something that you're interested in, just to kind of have an idea of where we're starting at. And I also send you a pretty decent list. Like it's like 15 questions, you know, wanting to know a little bit more about you. What are your goals right now? Have you tried to achieve this goal before? Have you been on a diet before? What worked? What didn't work?
So it's not a one size fits all.
No,
which is really important. I mean, we've been saying that all along, but
it's very personalized. Like I want to know a lot about you before I jump on and work with you. Right. And then from there, if it is something that you decide to pull the trigger on, you get another sign up form through my software system, which will, that's kind of more of like the medical release and that kind of stuff. Just make sure you're healthy and, mm-hmm. You know, you should always consult a doctor before starting a diet or starting any sort of nutrition or fitness program, really, for that matter. But that's going to have more of like the nitty gritty details, like, can I post you on Instagram if you want to put your transformation photo up there and stuff like that? So it's two different sign up processes before we actually get started.
I love it. And you mentioned if this makes sense for you, mm-hmm. that's how I am too. I love having a wreath on the door. Come see what we're all about.
Right.
And if it makes sense, we do business together.
Absolutely.
We'll do it. So
yeah, I'm pretty lucky that I feel like when people find me, I would say like 90% of the time, they're like awesome. And they're like ready to do it. Yeah. It's rare that they don't.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us where we can find CrossFit PHX.
Well done.
Yeah, I've been practicing for an hour.
You can find me on my personal page at Coach Derz, D-E-R-Z. It's a nickname that I absolutely hated, and that's why it stuck.
Well, it's not Barf.
It's brandable.
It's funny because, you know, I get introduced around the gym to new members as Michael. Right. And then all of a sudden they're like, who's this Derz guy? And then I have to reintroduce myself as
me too.
And then you can find my tribe, CrossFit PHX, at CrossFit PHX or CrossFitPHX.com. And then you can find my podcast, 20%ers, where we discuss all things mindset, success, happiness, fulfillment at 20%ers on Instagram, or that really long because domains are disappearing at a cyclic rate.
It's ridiculous.
It's 20%ers, plural, circle.com.
And if you're lucky enough to be in the Metro Phoenix area, is there a brick and mortar physical location
Absolutely.
To find you?
Yeah, you can find us in South Scottsdale. On the our cross streets are Oak and Scottsdale Road, just north of McDowell. And, you know, we've got up to 8 classes a day, and we are one of the only vertically integrated CrossFit facilities in the Valley.
What does that mean?
Meaning that we handle all things fitness, nutrition, recovery therapy. We have massage therapists and physical therapists on staff as well as we partnered with Kettlebell Kitchen, where you can personalize your meal plan. So in working with Caitlin, you know, it's not just, here's a shopping list.
Right.
You're on your own. It's strategic guidance through here as far as macros and macro nutrients are concerned. And then we can facilitate what you actually put in your mouth through Kettlebell Kitchen. Mm-hmm. So my whole ethos in developing CrossFit PHX was to give everybody out here in Phoenix the experience that I got as an athlete and a Marine in which you don't have to go anywhere for anything. Mm-hmm. It's all right there.
Yeah.
Don't forget supplements. Did you say supplements?
Oh, yeah. And we're the only carrier of first form supplements in the Valley as well, as far as CrossFit is concerned. So we have literally everything that you need to facilitate your physiological transformation in-house, which will also filter into your mindset as well.
One last question for you before we close up with Brooke. So if I'm not lucky enough to be in the Metro Phoenix area, I can still connect and work with you. I mean, definitely through social media, but do you have clients outside of the brick and mortar gym?
I do. Yeah. I do. I do a lot of sport-specific programming. That's actually my bread and butter.
Okay.
That's where my entire existence prior to CrossFit actually lived professionally. So I do program development and stuff like that. And you can just, the best way to get a hold of me is through social media these days. So you just hit me up on Coach Durs on Instagram.
Love it. I now understand why you have powerfully aligned with these two professionals.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 100 Years of Bliss.
You can find that at 100yearsofbliss.com. That was not
taken. 100.
Yeah, 100. Yes, I should say.
Years of Bliss. That's great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Life Blueprint, we can find out more information out there about that. And
you can actually, if you go to 100yearsofbliss.com, there is a Life Blueprint that you can actually go print out. And we'll have them the day of the event, but you can actually go there and print them out. The other thing that I have right now too is if you're interested in finding out more about 100 Years of Bliss, you can go to 100yearsofblissquiz.com. So it's 100 Years of Bliss quiz, and they can actually fill out a quiz. And that's just some very pointed questions. And then I'll follow up with you. And we'll go from there. And, you know, kind of a little bit of dive in of everybody who works with me starts there too. Mm-hmm. Because my whole thing is we need to measure where you're starting from to know where you're getting. And I think that that gets lost when we're talking about emotional stuff.
And like Caitlin and Michael, we don't have to be in the Phoenix area and be really close to you physically, location-wise. You're working with everybody.
And yes, so my plan is to go national soon. Mm-hmm. My online website that's going to have where I can actually work with clients. That'll be up in a couple months, but I can work with anybody anywhere.
Well, so get in there now before you have to stand in line. I love it. So for our listeners who are hearing this close to the 24th, it is a one-day event, Ordinary Sucks, How to Build an Extraordinary Life with some amazing presenters. Is it just the three of you or are there a couple others?
It's just the three of us, but we're going to be emceed by a comedian, Matt Walker.
Perfect.
Make it fun.
Yes, you said that earlier on when you were talking about the blueprint, right? The soulfulness and the spirituality and the fun has got to be in every piece of this. So the event is taking place at Fabric, which is in Tempe, Arizona, very close to our studio. We love the people over at Fabric. They've been on with us many, many times here. And the price point is ridiculously reasonable, $50.
Yep.
Yeah. And what else can you tell us about the event?
So it's going to be a day-long event. That includes lunch. That $50 includes lunch. So you're going to get, there's going to be a lovely lunch. But we're also giving a ton of stuff away. So just so everybody knows, Michael's giving away a year at his gym. Caitlin's given 3 months of her one-on-one nutrition. I'm going to give away 6 months of my program with personal one-on-one. We also have a woman who goes by the vagina doctor who's giving away some stuff of hers about how to build your pelvic floor. Then we have, my gosh, I hope I can give everybody a shout out to what we're doing. But we also have Sip and Listen podcast is going to be given, they're going to be giving away a couple spots on their podcast. A woman is going to be giving away a haircut. Her name's Kim Meinert. You might know her.
I know Kim.
She's going to be there. She's going to give it away. It's all they're on, there's they're on, there'll be more.
Yeah,
there'll be more.
And again, we just reconnected on Monday, and I'm like, listen, what you're doing is amazing. We need to let more people know. So that's why we, you know, made a spot for this today.
And thank you so much for
having us.
Oh,
my pleasure. This has been really a treat. I've enjoyed getting to know both of you and hearing a little bit more about your story and obviously how you're showing up in the world for us. So grateful for 100 years of bliss and ordinary sucks opportunity. Thank you guys again for being here. Let's go.
Thank you for having me.
Leap into our weekend.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki. Thanks for listening.